Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie.
My name's Caitlin.
And this is our movie podcast about the girls.
The girls.
This one's for the girls.
The women. We're not girls, we're women.
Oh, sorry.
And neither is anyone. There's no girls. We are born, grown up, adult women.
A woman child.
Just like Boss Baby. Who's that movie
Just
for?
Just like the Boss
what
Baby.
Is it?
I don't know. You know, who is it for? I'm eating a cheeseburger today.
You're eating a cheeseburger.
So if there's any
in lieu of a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah, I'm making some changes in my life.
Follow your heart.
Yeah, it's like a tangential change, but it's a change. A change is a change.
Our podcast is about the portrayal of women in film. It's inspired by the Bechdel test. It's a test that requires that two women in a movie, they have to talk to each other, and it has to be about something other than a man.
We prefer they have names, but sometimes we'll give them a pass. Hey, there's that. I didn't get to see it. It's gone now, but Fun Home was in town. It's connected to the Bechdel test because it's based on a graphic novel by Alison Bechdel.
Oh, yes.
It's a musical version of that.
I didn't know it was a musical.
Well, I want to ask our guest about it because she got to see it. Our guest today, she is Buttercup on Powerpuff Girls. She is in everything that UCB does ever. Natalie Palamides.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for being here.
Did you love Fun Home?
Oh, my God. I freaking love Fun Home. I cried the last 20 minutes of it. It's just so moving. It's really funny. The music's really great and powerful. It gives you goosebumps. It's just a good story. It's the true story about Alison Bechdel's life and her relationship with her father, who was closeted. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's her story about coming out as well and how they deal with that together. But it's just, oh my God.
It's, wow. I've listened really to the album and I've read the book, but I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Oh, you should see it if you can.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished the one Alison Bechdel book
Which one?
Bought. I wish I remember what it was called. It's not Is Your Mama a Llama? Because that's a different book.
But wait,
it sounds like.
Wait a second. I don't think that she wrote Your Mama is a Llama.
No, she definitely did not, but that's what the title of this book reminds me of.
I went to, there was like a book sale at the library, and I got a bunch of kids' books with like illustrations that I liked. And there's one called Runaway Pickle, and it's about a pickle that runs away. And recommendation of the cast, I would like to formally endorse a book I'm pretty sure is called Runaway Pickle.
Well, hey, you out there, if you want to read that book, you should. You should also read Are You My Mother, which is the name of the Alison Bechdel book, not Is Your Mama a Llama.
Caitlin, I'm going to really try to lean in on the mouth noises of me eating this cheeseburger because I know you're going to edit this later and I just like want to feel close to you.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so
Aristotle's really disgusted because he too can hear everyone. I'm sorry.
He's also probably upset that you're eating beef in his presence because Aristotle's a dirty, dirty vegan.
I'm sorry for triggering everyone with my bad eating habits, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, your body, your choice, you know? Let's talk about the...
What a beautiful way to learn that lesson, by, like, actively polluting your body. Yeah.
Yeah. The movie we're talking about today that you have brought us, Natalie, is The Sandlot.
Yes, it's a classic, a modern classic, I think.
Yeah. So when did you first see this movie? What's your relationship to this movie?
I saw the movie when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and oh my gosh. I mean, the nostalgia that I experience when I'm watching it is powerful. You know, it's just, it reminds me of 4th of July and like being outside and playing baseball. Even though I'm not a boy, I relate to it just because like, my cousins, even my girl cousins, would all like play Sandlot. Like I would be Squint Palidorus because my last name is Palamides.
Yeah. Oh my god!
And I had like really big glasses too, just like Squint. So I really related to Squint.
Yeah,
you know, even though he isn't my same gender, I thought just me and him should get married.
Yeah. So you
or we're the same person. Yeah.
Either way, that can be a good match. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've probably like seen this movie. Have you seen it a bunch of times?
I watch it every year on 4th of July without fail.
Oh, wow.
Usually I'm drunk. We come home. We've been like drinking all day. And then we watch The Sandlot.
That's so nice.
Yeah. 1 year I even watched it by myself because I was away from my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got drunk and watched it myself.
Terrific.
I don't know if that's sad.
Where did you grow up?
Pittsburgh, outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, no way. I'm from Western Pennsylvania.
Really?
But like rural.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty rural where I grew up. It's like an hour outside the city.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about Pennsylvania and Massachusetts.
Yeah, we do.
In the cast.
Allison Bechtel's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. I can see all of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the songs. We
should listen to that soundtrack in a locked room and just release.
It's really good.
All your toxins.
I'd love to.
But yeah, so it's brings a lot of nostalgia. The movie makes me think about, you know, family barbecues and just playing baseball with my family. And when I was a kid, you know, being outside all day. Those are the kind of memories that it evokes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this movie for the first time, I think probably in college, which is when I saw most of the movies I've seen. But I told this story on an earlier episode of the podcast, but I was at a friend's house, like a little pool party, and all the boys were like, hey, let's go inside and watch The Sandlot. And then they put like the VHS tape in the VCR it was a porn movie.
Oh, yeah.
And not The Sandlot. But
that is not The Sandlot.
It wasn't porn version of The Sandlot?
No, it was just a woman. It was just a woman being fisted.
With a baseball.
With a Babe Ruth signed baseball.
It was Wendy Peppercorn getting fisted.
Oh, no. But here's the thing. Because I did not know what The Sandlot was at the time, I somehow, like, when it came out, I missed it. I wasn't the gender or the demographic that movie was intended for. I also grew up under a rock. So I didn't know that I wasn't watching The Sandlot when we were watching. I was like, oh, The Sandlot is a porn movie, I guess.
It's a beautiful film about being a kid and making friends.
It wasn't until years later that I discovered what The Sandlot actually was.
Fun new nickname for your vagina.
The Sandlot.
The Sandlot. Mm-hmm. Welcome to The Sandlot. I had a very scary dream the other night. I used to have, like, when I was little, the first movie I ever saw, to the point where I don't even remember seeing it, but it, like, seeped into my consciousness, was Aladdin. And I used to be so scared of the cave that would rise out of the sand.
The Cave of Wonders.
Yeah. And there was, I still have dreams about the cave. And I used to have like this, I used to sleepwalk a lot when I was a little kid. And there was like this short flight of stairs that I fell down multiple times because I like was having a dream that the cave was at the bottom of the stairs. And I would just launch myself into what was not the cave at all. It was thankfully a soft carpet at the bottom of, but still at the bottom of stairs.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Lots of rug burn.
Yeah.
I had the hots for Jafar.
Really?
That's my most memorable thing. Memorable thing from Aladdin. Yeah, he was my first crush.
You're a little twisty beard kind of guy?
Yeah. I guess I like the bad boys.
Yeah.
Wait, I just want to set the record straight and say that my nickname for my vagina is Box Office Flop. But
oh, I love that.
But I can all, we can call it the Sandlot too.
The Speaking of the Sandlot too, Return to the Sandlot.
Yes.
No. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. I can't believe they even made that. They ruined it.
I didn't see the sequel.
Was that a direct to video?
Yeah.
Direct
to video. I didn't
see it.
When did you see the Sandlot for the first time, Jamie?
I remember seeing it where my oldest cousin Aaron used to love that movie. He was a couple years older than me, and so we all would like watch it together in the den when we were little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was nice. It wasn't like one of my favorite movies, but it like kind of the same as you. It just reminded me of hanging out with my cousins when I was little, and I wasn't a baseball or sports girl in general. Like some of my cousins would split off and play the Sandlot and reenact that movie.
Really?
And then, yeah. And then in the backyard, me and my cousin Tammy would try to reenact the Lindsay Lohan version of the Parent Trap. Yeah. That was like what we would do.
So the movie, let's talk about let's start with the characters. The main boy characters are Scotty. He's like the protagonist the story sort of unfolds through his point of view. And then his best friend, Benny Rodriguez. He's like the cool kid who's super good.
His voice had changed. You're just like, oh.
Oh, Benny.
I know. He's so much taller.
Yeah.
I think I might still sort of have a crush on him. I remember I had he was such a cutie pie.
Yeah, he's a good-looking young kid who is not age appropriate for us.
Okay.
Then we got Squints, like you mentioned.
Yeah, he was my crush, Squints, like I said.
He's a little underdog.
Yeah. Timmy and Tommy, the brothers. And then Yeah is the little short kid. Then we got Ham and Kenny DeNunez and Bertram. Those are the nine.
Dude, I don't even remember Bertram.
Yeah, he's the one with the glasses.
Oh, I remember him now. Yep.
Yeah, I lost track of a few of them. Some of them blended together.
He brings the Bertram.
Yes.
Oh,
and then they all chew it and throw up all
exactly.
over themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's our main boys. And then as far as the women go?
Oh.
Yikes. Where are they?
Back to Scotty's mom.
Scotty's mom, played by Karen Allen, who is never even named. She's just mom. And then you've got Wendy Peppercorn. Hey, wait, should I do the recap?
Do the recap.
I guess what little semblance of a story it has.
Whoa.
Goes like
this. Coming in hot.
Oh.
Coming in hot. Natalie's going to pass
Such
out.
Such a good movie.
Well, okay, so it's about these nine boys who play baseball every day of this summer. I think it's set in 1962, and we focus on Scotty, who, like, moves to the neighborhood, and he's like, I'm bad.
Scotty Smalls.
I'm bad. Scotty Smalls.
Dennis Leary is my dad.
And he's like, I want to play baseball, but I'm not good at it. But I want to make friends. But they're all good at baseball, and I don't know how.
Oh, we can do little boy voices this whole episode.
Oh, man.
And then he, like, approaches these boys who are playing at this place called the Sandlot, which is this, like, magical place where boys play baseball every day. And then he's really bad, but they sort of accept him. Whenever he shows that he can, like, finally catch a ball, and then they play every day, and then there's this beast who lives in a backyard at the neighboring house, and they're like, don't go near the beast, we lose all these baseballs, oh no, it's scary.
Where's the baseballs?
There's so many baseballs over the fence by the beast's doghouse.
So many baseballs.
Or the beast house.
Beast. So one day they are playing, and by this is halfway through the movie, and the inciting incident doesn't really happen until then.
Whoa.
Anyway, they bust a ball open. Benny, because he's so good at baseball, he's like, I'm gonna mash this ball up, and they ruined this baseball. And Scotty's like, hey, I got a baseball at my house. I'm going to let you guys use it.
Scotty's so eager to please.
Little does he know, it was signed by Babe Ruth, who he doesn't know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Ruth.
That was a fun, yeah. Like, who is she?
Yeah.
And then they lose it, and the Beast gets it, so they have to, like, orchestrate this whole, like, rescue
mission. Really halfway through the movie?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's a long way.
Yeah.
But they're building their friendship and everything and establishing, you know, what it's like to be a kid, you know.
Yeah. It does take a while for things to actually start happening.
But some great moments come before, you know, like the s'more and everything.
Yeah. S'mores. And then they rescue this ball, but not before the Beast gets out, and he's a big dog, and he chases them through the neighborhood, and there's a cake, and it falls on everyone, and then...
And Benny has PF flyers.
Right.
That he wears to make him run faster, jump higher.
And a ghost, Babe Ruth's ghost visits Benny at his house.
And gives him a pep talk.
Yeah.
And I have the same shoes as Benny, just FYI.
Oh, very nice.
Sandlot edition PF flyers.
Yeah. And then they discover that the old man who lives in the house that the Beast is at is
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, former Yankees baseball player who knew Babe Ruth.
I caught a fly ball once, but it was like with my back brace when I was 12. I would have gotten hit and like maybe hurt, but it hit. I was leaning over. I was reading a magazine feature about Josh Hartnett.
Of course.
And the fly ball at the baseball game that we had gone to as a school field trip, like, fell in between the seat and my back brace. Mm-hmm. So that it just, I was like, what was that? And it was a fly ball at a Providence White Sox game. It was good. I still have it in my house.
Oh, good job.
Thank you.
Is it in your trophy room?
It's in my trophy room. Cool. Yeah, I have a lot of trophies.
They're all heads of the men you've decapitated?
Yeah, it's a stinky little room.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I'm proud of it.
Yeah. Cool. So that's mostly the story. They, like, talk to James Earl Jones, and he's like, yeah, here's a new ball. It has all the signatures from the 1927 Yankees.
I like how James Earl Jones blackmails them into being his friend. I thought that was really nice. And also just, like, that's such a nice scene, too, where he's like, please be my friend.
Yeah, because he's basically, like, the Boo Radley of the community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
And then he turns out to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of questions when I watched it this time. I never, like, questioned the world that the Sandlot takes place in. But it's like, so first of all, there no women live in this town.
Right.
Except for Wendy
Peppercorn. But in regards to James Earl Jones, I have so many questions. Where did his life go wrong besides being blind? Did he never get a second wind?
He lost his, career. He never had a backup plan, especially one that involved him being blind.
Right.
I don't know, but he lives in that little in metal baseball? Shack.
Doesn't the
I was just like, what happened?
Doesn't Major League Baseball give you workman's comp when you go blind?
We'll have to make some calls.
Yeah.
He might have squandered all his baseball cash and then, you know. Also, like, he's blind living on his own. Imagine taking care of a house by yourself.
That's true.
Got a dog. Dog's probably chewing everything
He's
up.
Not even a seeing eye dog.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's not.
What it's a waste
just a
of
big,
a dog.
Scary dog.
Yeah. Anyway, as we mentioned, there are almost no women except for Scotty's mom and Wendy Peppercorn, who...
They don't talk to each other.
Yeah. No, they're like women. Sometimes I'm like, hey, there's one. like in... That when the boys are thrown out of the pool, there's a mom who looks at them like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, for listeners of the cast, I just made an O shape with my mouth to indicate shock.
In fairness, though, like, are there, like, any boys in, like, you know, the Babysitter's Club?
True. Babysitter's Club for sure passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah, but, like, this is kind of like the dude version of, like, it is like a boys' club kind of movie. But a lot of girls watch it.
Yeah, I don't remember, like feeling weird about that.
I don't remember feeling weird either.
It's weird because it's, like, it's a story where women are absent, but they don't really, with the exception of Wendy Peppercorn, or is that how you say it?
Peppercorn.
I was imagining a P-F. Peppercorn?
No, it's Peppercorn.
No, yeah, I'm 100%
wrong. Yeah.
But they, it's not... really that condescending to women. It's just a world that
Except
women don't really exist
I
in.
I disagree entirely.
Well, there's the you play ball like a girl,
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
There's a number of instances. So I made note of this. I think that it's horribly condescending to women.
Wow.
And yeah.
Whoa, I'm taking
a strong stance on this episode, you guys.
I love it.
There's a scene where this other group of like baseball boys roll up and they're sort of like insult battling. They're roasting each other, if you will. It's a roast battle.
It's a roast battle of sorts.
Oh, I see your sister out in left field. She's naked, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the game. Before they play the game against each other, Ham and this other kid from this other team are like hurling insults at each other. And they're going back and forth and it keeps heightening because they're like, you're dumb. You're a dork. You are a fart smeller. You are a toe jam licker. Like stuff like that. And then Ham goes, oh, yeah? Well, you play like a girl. And then everyone goes, as if that's
insult.
The worst
insult. When you pause it and you play all those tampon commercials, it's like, I don't play like a girl. I'm strong.
Right.
I paused it and I was like, what is it? Is it the Always company that co-opted that? Anyways.
Very possible.
Okay. Well, a girl plays baseball in that commercial.
Oh, good. I'm so glad we get that representation in there. So that's one example of a few different instances where they use women as like the butt of a joke or...
And when I was a kid, I wasn't insulted by that at all. I thought it was hilarious.
I'm sure we all... Yeah.
What was wrong with me?
Another one is when they're debating whether or not to let like Scotty join the team, Benny is like arguing for him and he's like, well, we only have 8 people. He makes 9. And then someone, I think it might be or Squints or someone goes, well, so would my sister, but I didn't bring her. As if like, ugh, why would we like what a horrible choice that would have been. And then there's another scene where it's super hot outside and they're all like, it's too hot to play. And Benny's like, come on, guys, let's do it. And they're like, no. And he's like, all right, well, anyone who wants to be a can't hack it panty waist who wears their mama's bra. And they're all like, yeah, we're fine with that. But just like the fact that
was a funny one, though.
It's just, okay, sure. These like young boys in 1962.
Boys will be boys, right?
Right. It's just some like young locker room talk.
They're not going to be at like the forefront of a feminist movement. Sure. They're young boys from 1962. But here's the thing. Young kids, boys and girls, are watching this movie, and this audience is like very impressionable.
Yeah.
And they're easily influenced. So to like hear things like this from a movie, they're like, oh, that's okay. That's okay. Like, that's all right to think of women that way.
The guys we have to deal with these days, I mean, must have grown up watching that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I'm ready to hold the Sandlot accountable.
All these feminists.
No, I think that, I mean, it wouldn't have been difficult to add. I mean, and this would be like the very, very, very least is kind of like a girl on the team who had to, you know, take that shit and then say, hey, and then throw one good pitch. Like that sounds like that
happens.
Yeah, if
they had a girl on the team, they'd be so badass.
Right? Like just to give the, I think I would have liked the movie so much more if there was
a little girl. Yeah, at least one.
Right. Because like, sure, I don't think it's unrealistic for these boys to be thinking and talking this way about girls, but because it goes unchallenged is I think what bothers me.
Yeah.
And that, like, no one's like, don't talk that way about women.
Yeah.
Right.
Think about how hilarious it would have been if he was like, well, you play ball like a girl. And then it was like, and then she's like the best player on the team, you know, or something like, and she's like, what's that supposed to mean? You know, he's like, oh, sorry. You know, there's moments for comedy there.
Mm-hmm. There's, man, yeah, I would love if there was a girl, at least one girl. It still wouldn't help this movie pass the Bechdel test.
Right.
But it would be cool. And also, I'd like there, you know, most of them are like little shitty mouth-breathing boys that it makes sense for their, because they're supposed to be, what, like 9 and 10 or something like that?
He's,
like pretty young. And then Benny's a little
maybe
older.
Maybe as old as 12 or 13. Yeah.
But, I mean, you've got Scotty and Benny, and they're both pretty good kids, and it's like, you know, they seem like the sort of characters that could interact with a woman child, and have it, you know, not be really condescending and go well, but they did not do that, which is not entirely surprising because this is written, directed, produced. It's all guys who made this movie, which is, I've never been less surprised, but because it's a little boy movie.
Yeah, it was written and directed by David Evans, and then someone named Robert Gunter also has a writing credit on it. So they're responsible.
Yeah.
Could we say that it's important to make movies that are just like let's say that The Sandlot was like all girls about like a girls softball team, you know? Do you think people would be upset that there was no boy? Like, obviously people are upset because in movies there's already a lack of women represented, but let's just say it was the opposite and it was like all women. Would people be like, oh, there should have been a boy in there?
I mean, men's rights activists who'd be like, why aren't there? But like, I feel like
females are already so underrepresented in film.
Right.
Right. When you feature like a marginalized group.
Yeah. It's tricky because I do understand the argument that could be made of like, this is a movie about little boys. And I totally agree with you, Caitlin, that like the way that they talk about girls is never challenged. And that is, you know, maybe that's realistic, but it's a movie. It's very easy to just throw in any sort of challenge from anyone. And there's a lot of stuff about this movie. Like, it takes place in 1962, and there is a Hispanic character, there is a Black character. This is not addressed at all. And that's, you know, like that, it's not that kind of movie that is going to address racial issues. But it's mm-hmm. weird because outside of gender, it is relatively inclusive, or at least, you know, we see those characters on screen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where this is going. It's just weird because there's a few cop-outs in that it's the summer, so we never need to see them at school, and that's where we would see girls. But even, like, at the pool and stuff, like, there's no girl that they consider an equal in this movie because Wendy Peppercorn is, like, older and, like, above them or whatever, and then there's Scotty's mom. And so there's no girl who is on their level to interact with, and that is kind of weird and even like unusual for this kind of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even so much that I'm upset by the lack of women in the movie, although there certainly could be more. It's just, I suppose, the way that they think about women. Like I said, girls and women are used as an insult every time. It's basically we think that women are inherently bad. And bad at sports and bad at throwing.
Yeah.
And they are basically just lesser than us. So we are going to use that as an opportunity to insult each other by calling each other girls or by insinuating that you're being girlish if you are being weak or not good at baseball.
What do you think about Squint and Wendy Peppercorn getting together?
Oh, yeah.
Getting together.
So many twists and turns in that relationship.
Like, you know, right before the credits, it's like, Squint and Wendy had, like, so many kids together.
They could not stop fucking.
Yeah.
They could not stop.
What do we think about that?
Well,
she's, like, this powerful woman who, like, kicks his ass out of the pool, you know?
Because he sexually assaults her.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He does. Yeah, he pulls her down. Like, that's not good.
That is true. Like, it's never portrayed. Like, I, you know, never even crossed my mind as an adult, like, watching this movie. I watch it every year, you know, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Never crossed my mind that, like, she's getting sexually assaulted. In my head, I'm like, that goofy kid is like, you know.
Well, that's how they treat it, too.
Pulled a fast one on her, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the voiceover from older Scotty after that sequence, I was like, whoa, it still would have been very strange to, you know, because Squint's literally like pulls this girl down and she's trying to like do her job and she's doing a good job, but she kicks them out and that is like, okay, good. You know, she stood up for herself and got these kids the fuck out of there. But then the voiceover kicks in and it was like, man, that was so fucking cool. What a bold little kid.
Uh-huh.
And like,
That's true.
He was a hero. He kissed a girl and da da da. And then the part that like ruined Wendy Peppercorn for me is when later it's like, and every time he passed the pool, she would smile at him. I was like, why? What a little weird
weird pervert.
That would never happen. She'd be like, oh, God, that kid.
Yeah, I would have, like, a dart gun and, like, blow poisonous darts at him if I were
I would
her.
Love to see you operate a dart gun.
I might get in trouble for saying this, but, like, it's just, like, there's this fine line between, like, technically it's sexual assault, but then also he's, like, this stupid kid that just thinks, like, this is the way to, like, hit on Wendy Peppercorn. Or, like, you know, the way it's presented is, like, he's like, this is my one shot to, like, make his move. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't even understand that, like, that would be considered assault.
Yeah,
to,
I mean,
in the movie.
I,
you know?
I think that the thing that bothered me more than the fact that it actually happened was that the adult, like 30 years later is like, that was cool. Like, no regrets. Yeah. You know, like, that was what bothered me a little bit more.
Yeah.
Where, like, the narration, like, this, you know, whatever, the omniscient smart guy says it's fine.
Because he says what Squints did was sneaky, low, rotten, and cool.
Right. Yeah. That's nice.
So at least they, like, partially acknowledged that it was,
like, gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after they've gotten kicked out of the pool and as they're walking away, Ham is like, did you plan that? And he's like, yeah, I've been planning it for a while. And everyone's like, guys, he
premeditated.
Yeah, it's a premeditated sexual assault. So
I'm triggered.
I want to break this down a little bit more because this scene was so alarming to me. But before that happens, when we're introduced to Wendy Peppercorn for the first time, she's so heavily objectified. It's insane. Like,
for like a 14-year-old girl. It is very strange.
Oh, she's 14?
She's young.
I imagine
that
she's probably meant to be like 16, but
Let me look it up.
So the first time you meet her, she's walking down the street, and then there's a shot of just her butt, like as she's walking. It's just like a lingering male gaze shot of her ass.
But that's what they're trying to portray, though, right?
I mean, they're portraying,
like, staring at her ass, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're saying that Squints is attracted to her, yes, but does it need to be in such a sleazy way, filmically, like cinematically?
I think that comes back to the lack of challenging anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you can have, another shout out to Headless Women of Hollywood, one of my favorite blogs ever. And that's like one of those classic things where it's like, oh, it's, you know, a woman's ass and we know nothing about her except she's a lifeguard and she's got a good ass.
Well, it happens again when,
you know,
she's
that's
at the
a dream of mine.
But that's really all Squints knows about her, too. Like,
right.
He just has a crush from afar on this girl that he thinks is pretty, and really all he knows about her is like her good looks.
Sure.
It is like that shallow from the kid's perspective.
I think that can still be communicated on screen without isolating a shot of just her ass. And then it happens again when she's at the pool. You see just a shot of her breasts, like as she's putting on sunscreen. So, like, there's still ways to communicate that one character is attracted to another without, like, horribly objectifying them like that, I feel.
Yes, but I think part of, like, the thing that I think is funny is that he is just, like, so, like, like, drooling over, like, her ass. It's kind of like things that, like, guys do focus on, you know? And they're even, like,
Men only focus on my feet, actually.
Well, you know, like, they are, you know, for me, I don't think it's, like, so absurd to, like, show from his perspective that that's, like, all he's focusing on. Because that probably is, like, what he's focusing on.
Sure, I mean, he's a horny little boy who's, like, reaching puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the first one. Which you would think would be Benny, but Benny, he's horny for baseball, dude.
He's
horny for the game.
Yeah.
I love Benny.
I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying that it's, like, right to objectify women, but, like, that is his perspective that they're portraying.
I understand. Yeah. It still grossed me out. I was still like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah,
and it didn't gross me out. Like the first time I saw it, I didn't think anything of it, you know, like 10 years ago. But now I'm like, oh, you know what? That porn that I thought was The Sandlot, where that woman's getting fisted, is less objectifying than this movie. Yeah, I'll say it.
I mean, especially in a movie for little kids, that's a weird precedent to be setting. And
I mean, I don't know, like, kids are pretty sexual though. You know what I mean? Like, I made my Barbies have sex with each other when I was, like, 6 years old.
I used to make my Hunchback of Notre Dame puppets make out.
Yeah. I made out with my ventriloquist dummy, you know, like.
You had a ventriloquist dummy?
Yeah. Make out with it. But like, you know, I feel like people tend to forget that kids, like, even from a young age are, like, sexual beings, you know, in their own, like, innocent way, you know, like I was like banging my Barbies together or whatever, but kids still like have this like innate like animalistic
but that's
instinct.
Like kind of all the more reason to show them a way of looking at people that isn't so I don't know like reductive I don't know
yeah but what, I also mean, they're like poking fun at Squints for like he's like so goo goo gaga over this girl you
yeah
know?
That's
like,
true
to the point where he's willing to almost drown himself which by the way is my favorite line in the movie it's man expository dialogue because he's about to like go jump in the pool and someone's like but that's the deep end and Squints can't swim and it's like cool thanks for that very on the nose explanation.
I love a good expository dialogue name
but yeah so then he jumps in the pool and he like I guess pretends to drown or also maybe can't swim but then Wendy saves him and she's performing CPR on him and like the second or third time she like goes to blow air into his lungs he's like let's kiss now we're kissing is that how he talks no but
no but I love that voice please never stop
and then what also bothered me after that, she like, I do like that she's like, you little pervert. And she like grabs him and like yanks him and she kicks them all out of the pool. But then 2 seconds later, when they're like outside of the fence, he like kind of waves at her and she just gives him this look like, you little rascal. And it's like, he just forcibly kissed you without your permission.
It was just, that was just like confusing to me of like, she was just so mad and like, pushed 9 boys out simultaneously. And then, like, a few minutes later, she's like, you know what? It was kind of funny. Like, I was just like, where? You cooled down, Wendy? I don't know.
Yeah.
That whole sequence, like, it started out, I'm like, well, it's good that she's kicking their ass. And then it sort of ended, like, and then you had 9 kids.
Yeah. With them. And they get together.
Is this a good time to say that Benny now is an LAPD firefighter?
Ooh, Benny.
He's a firefighter. He retired from acting in 1997 after being in D2 and D3, The Mighty Ducks.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man,
I love
that poor
the
guy
Mighty
got
Ducks.
Typecast.
And then he was like, I'm going out on top and I'm going to save this beautiful city from fires. And he's, oh, God. Right. Oh, wait, he was arrested.
What? For what?
Vitar and 2 other firemen were involved in a physical altercation with another man who was severely injured on Halloween 2015. He was booked on December 3rd for the incident and was later released on $30,000 bail.
Oh, my gosh, Benny.
He beat up a guy on Halloween. In his defense, it was Halloween.
Yeah, and maybe you.
It's like The Purge. You can commit any crime you want on Halloween.
we're talking about Wendy Peppercorn. Oh, here's something I had a question about. Does Dennis Leary and his wife with no name have a good marriage, or do they hate each other? She seems a little bit scared of him. She seems like, where he's always in his room with his.
She's like scared to talk to him. She's like, please.
Right, where she's like, go talk to your dad. And I don't know, like the dynamic between them. Dennis Leary seemed very mean.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I love that Dennis Leary.
I think he's stressed out though.
Yeah, like, but what does he do? What's his job? Where's he going?
He travels. You know, he travels for business.
He's and I get that. Like, we're sort of seeing his parents through Scotty's eyes, where it's like no one totally knows what their dad does and. Like, you know, sometimes...
I still don't know my dad.
Really?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I asked someone what their dad did recently, and he answered, like, something involving bricks.
Oh, a bricklayer.
Was that me? Because my dad's a bricklayer, but I know that my
Shut
dad's
up.
A bricklayer.
Is your dad a bricklayer?
Yeah.
No, oh, you know what your dad does.
Yeah.
This is...
I think so that's
an
so
over
hot.
Over 30, lay me some bricks.
I always say I need to just hook up with a Scottish bricklayer. Is your dad Scottish?
Ooh.
No.
See, I'm objectifying, though.
Well, wait, you're going to Scotland this summer, right?
Yeah, that's my... if anybody from Scotland is listening to this and you're a bricklayer, hit me up.
Natalie, you just need to go to like brickless areas and just wait. They'll show up.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen brick being laid before.
I've only seen it.
Oh, you're
going
to want to see it.
I've
only seen bricks getting laid. Oh, yeah. Bricks are fucking each other.
Fucking bricks.
Yes.
My dad is a sports reporter, and there's no less. I mean, which Scotty is at the end, there's no less sexy profession in the entire world. They're just all people who are like, well, I wasn't that good at sports, so. Now I wear hats and I sweat a lot.
Who can't report. On it.
Report the sport.
That's the thing, right? That's the saying.
But I will say my dad won third place local Emmy for his volleyball coverage in 2007.
Is your dad really a sportscaster?
He's a print guy, but
he has more followers than you.
He has more followers on Twitter than me.
Oh, wow.
I
thought that might have been a joke, but...
I wish to God it was a joke. I had him for a little bit in early 2016. We got into like this really fun screaming match where I was like, I did it. And he was like, just you wait. And I did wait. And then he beat me again because he's got the Bruins exclusives. And I don't have those. I should start getting them.
If you're out there listening to this podcast, please follow Jamie on Twitter at HamburgerPhone.
Please block my dad at Loftus_Letcher. I asked people to block my dad, and a lot of people, they were very supportive, and they blocked my dad.
That's good.
You know, I was like, suspend his account.
He followed me, and I did not follow him back. So.
Really? Yeah. See, now he's like trying to appeal to people and be like, I'm going to follow Jamie's friends. And like, first of all,
didn't work.
If they don't know what's up, that looks very weird on your end.
Did he try to get your account suspended as well?
No, he's very mature about it. But no, he'll post about it on Facebook sometimes and be like, whenever my daughter does this, ... I get a lot of followers on Twitter. And then all his high school friends were like, yeah, Mike, love Sully. Because that's what all my... Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, man. Having a dad named Mike is the greatest struggle of my life.
My grandpap's name.
Really?
Wait, why is it a struggle for you?
Well, because there's so many people out there named Mike, and sometimes you'll find yourself in a romantic situation, perhaps with a Mike,
Fudge.
And then it's like there's been Mikes in my life.
My dad's Dale. I never had that problem.
That's amazing.
My dad's name is Steve, which I think is already the least sexy name ever.
Steve. But he's a bricklayer.
Yeah. Hey, can we talk about how the most interesting female character in this movie is the character that's in The Wolfman, which is being screened in like a movie theater as they're like chasing, they're the dogs chasing them.
Yeah,
it's toward the end. They like are running through the town and like this picnic and stuff, and then they go into this movie theater and the dog like bursts through the projector screen. I looked it up. They're watching The Wolfman from 1941.
Nice.
And the female character from that, I think, is the most interesting character in The Sandlot. So.
Is it possible the Beast is a girl?
Well, I don't know, because we get some shots.
Oh,
we get some overhead shots
we
of him.
We definitely see the dog's balls in it.
That dog has got
very prominent floppy balls.
Really? Wow.
He's packing.
But
sorry
based on the name alone,
essentially.
I did have a female cat called the Dude, so, you know, names aren't everything.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's named after the Big Lebowski.
I got you. I got you.
It's very cute.
I've seen that movie. Brag.
Good job, Jamie.
That'd be a good movie for the test. I don't think it passes the test. I don't think it passes.
If it does, it's by one of those, like... two-line interactions.
Yeah.
We've had a few of those, but it's... It's unfortunate. The Sandlot, you know, it fails the test.
For sure.
Pretty spectacularly.
I think even women maybe only get a combined like 5 minutes of screen time total. Because his mom is only in
a small...
And
it's mostly his exposition mommy.
Right.
Who comes in. I thought that it was weird that one of her first scene, I think, is just her bursting into the room and like, why don't you have any friends? Like, I would be so terrified if my mom, I mean, she wasn't that aggressive, but she was just like, do you have friends yet? And he's like, no, I'm still new.
I'm an egghead.
And she's like, I want you to have a lot of friends.
It's important.
It's important to have friends. I was like, geez.
She probably just wants him out of the house so that she can
So she can do what?
Also, the mom's anti-engineering. He's just trying to work on his kinetic set.
True.
And learn engineering skills for the future.
She's a woman against STEM.
She, women against STEM, it's like, whose side are you on?
I know.
Whose side are you
on? Seriously.
Ooh, let's do the checklist of things we look for in every movie. I would argue we've got some steampunk going.
Okay.
Really?
Explain.
Okay, so
is it like the Erector set?
They make some little contraptions to get the ball, to get the Babe Ruth ball. So, you know, I've expanded my hatred of steampunk to anything involving gears and pulleys and any basic machine.
That's true.
I'm like, you know, there's a little bit of steampunk culture. The machine works.
Yeah,
which
well,
is
they make
impressive.
A catapult, but I think they make it out of the Erector set. So,
they
yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I will say I made macaroni and cheese while I was watching this movie this time. And so there are maybe two to three minutes that I don't totally know what happens.
Gotcha.
And my roommate talked to me and I had to pause it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I forgot this before.
Wait, your roommate
that you've never
to you?
Spoken to.
Yeah, yeah.
During this?
Yeah, I paused it because I was in the kitchen. He caught me. He had just taken a shower at like.
How'd you know
12:30 p.m. because he had floppy bangs.
Because
I was trying
body.
To figure.
Hey, does anyone
we
have
just
any
took a hard left?
Like you do when you're playing baseball and you're rounding the bases.
Good. Yes, that was what
it
I was trying to do.
It all comes back together. Mm-hmm. I was on a I've been on a few different softball teams in my life.
Really?
Not in high school or anything like that. But I was on like the Boston Comedy Softball.
Oh,
league.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, I was not very good.
I knew a bunch of female comics who were on that Boston Softball League. I was invited to, but I was like, I'm kind of scared.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was not helpful. But anyway, softball teams are cool. I like to.
I was
like gonna to
play
them.
Softball when I was a kid, and I was practicing with my dad, and he hit me in the face with a ball.
No,
when he was pitching to me, and I just didn't want to play anymore. What bad aim?
Yeah, how bad was your dad at
dad,
softball?
You know,
also softballs
me in
are
the face.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
yeah, on accident, you know, it was an accident.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you ever realize my dad 100% tripped me on purpose when I was little?
What?
Because I. I know, and then I asked him about it about a year ago. I'm like, do you remember when you tripped me? Because, I don't know, I had been complaining about a scab I had on my knee, and I'm like, this is so stupid. I hate that I have this scab. It's ugly. I wish I hadn't fallen off my bike. And I guess I was being...
Annoying.
And then he tripped me, and I don't think he thought I was going to fall, but I did. And then the scab got bigger.
Dad! Oh, my
dad,
gosh.
No!
Yeah, your dad
Bad
deserves
dad.
To be blocked on Twitter for...
Everyone block him. Yeah, this
like
is.
That.
They
this
need
is,
to make a movie called Bad Dad. Am I right, guys?
Bad Dad. Ooh, what about Daddy's Home? Oh, I was.
Ooh, what about Bad Santa?
Bad Santa.
Oh, that'd
two,
be
three,
great.
Four.
That'd be really great.
I had to write clickbait today, as I do, so I can pay for things. I wrote about the Rock Vin Diesel feud, and. My favorite part of learning about it was that when Vin Diesel stormed off the set of The Fate of the Furious last summer, he said, "Daddy's gone," and then he left. And
that's true. That happened.
He said, allegedly, he said, "Daddy's gone." And I was like, whoa, after 8 movies, I guess that is allowed. You can just say, "Daddy's gone."
Maybe he's daddy on set. Maybe everybody's asking him to teach, you know, to ride bikes and stuff like that.
And it's like, Vin's like kind of our daddy.
Yeah.
It's like kind of the vibe he projects. Yeah.
He makes us sandwiches and cuts the crust off.
Oh, he's a good daddy.
Yeah.
He's not like the movie you're going to write, Bad Daddy.
Bad Daddy.
Oh, I like Bad Daddy better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad Daddy, yeah.
Rolls off the tongue better.
Oh, I can't wait for that billboard.
Mm.
It's going to be good.
Does anyone have any final thoughts about the movie, The Sandlot?
I want a version of this movie that has a girl on the team. I think I would have really, really loved that movie when
yeah,
I was younger.
I agree. I think so, too. Even though I did love the movie when I was younger, I think a girl would make it better.
Hey, why not two girls? When I was a kid and like playing sports and soccer, kickball or whatever, like in my neighborhood, it was mostly boys, but I was a girl and I was there. I was playing and yeah. I was better than most of them. Also, I was on a soccer team where I was one of two girls and then everyone else was a boy. But like we were, I don't know, like seven or something. And it was like mm-hmm. a co-ed team. And the girls were, yes, underrepresented, but we were there. We were playing. Yeah. I scored a goal once. So.
I would to see more girls, but okay. And I think maybe I'm just a bad person, but is there something to be said about like there's like that dynamic of like the one girl that like squeezes in and then teaches them all a lesson?
That's you very know, kind of thing. Tropey,
like the,
yeah.
It's like a trope. It's like the one strong female is like, fuck y'all. Like, girls rule. I wish that wasn't a trope, you know, but it's like there's something about.
I mean,
that trope that would have worked well in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That even extends to, like, I think we talked about that with, like, superhero movies before where there's, like, one female superhero and then she, like, kicks something.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, we didn't know you could do that.
Whoa, you're strong. And that's crazy.
Right. And then she, like, folds her arms and she's like, I know.
I'm a strong girl. But Powerpuff Girls, three girls, three strong girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kick butt.
Mm-hmm. Every episode passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah, every episode passes the Bechdel test, exactly. And they kick ass, yeah.
But, Kaylin, that's a good point. Maybe if there was, like, a pair of sisters. And then you could avoid that trope pretty easily. Because even if there were two little girls on this team, and one of them was great, and one of them was really bad at baseball, because I was 100% that kid who was like, oh, we need one more person. You know, Jamie, can you just stand here?
yeah.
Like, and like I was not a sporty child, but you know, maybe if there were two female characters, you could sort of dodge that trope too.
Sure. Yeah.
We don't know.
And also maybe if Wendy Peppercorn's girlfriend shows up when Squints kisses her and is like, hey, she's taken.
Whoa.
You know?
Yeah. And then she drowns Squints.
And then she...
she drowns.
I will say I would love someone to drown to impress me. But I would want it to end in them actually drowning.
I just want to say real quick, like, I can't stop thinking... I know we talked about, like, the kiss, like, Squints, it's sexual assault. And I hate to excuse it this way, but there's an innocence that kids have where, like, he doesn't realize. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the problem, though,
also,
as well. That's the problem that it's he doesn't know, but it's like there's an innocence to, like, stealing a kiss from someone. You know, it's like, oh, kiss my cheek. Then you turn your head and, like, steal the kiss. And it's like, ooh, you know. But this isn't, you know what I mean?
And not to minimize any type of sexual assault.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You know, being kissed is probably less traumatic than other horrible things that can happen to you.
Yeah.
So
I do. I mean, I do get the innocence part of it because it totally is like a kid thing.
Like
to
they're
do.
Just psyched that he like kissed a girl. You know what I mean? They're not like
right.
You sexually assaulted. You know what I mean? Like it's like kind of about perspective, but it's like not, but it's also not okay to like present that as an okay thing for kids. You know, it's like it starts somewhere is kind of the problem.
It sort of goes back to the lack of challenging anything where if Dennis Leary was just like, hey, don't do that. You know, that's or like at any point appeared to even vaguely like his wife and be like, hey, respect this woman. We don't know what her name is. I don't know what her name is, but. You know, she seems afraid of me.
Well, I think in the voiceover, the older Scotty does after that happens with Wendy Peppercorn, he says something, Squints, put the move on the lifeguard.
There's definitely like the seeds of something and teaching little boys that's
cool or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a gray area where it's like, we're not going to take Squints to court over this. But showing that and then leaving it relatively unaddressed as,
well,
like,
then,
don't
like,
do that.
Having her, like, smile and wave at him like she liked it or something.
Right.
Weird.
And then...
Like, just leave her as being mad. Mm-hmm. You know, she's mad. Like...
She's not going to come back in any part of the movie.
Suddenly have a crush on him or something.
And then double down. And then double down on it. Yeah. And then be like, she loved it so much, she couldn't get enough. She kept coming back for more. She fucked him 5 billion times.
Okay. Also, like, in terms of thinking of, like, mischief and stuff, it's kind of funny to, like, trick someone into thinking they're giving you CPR and then, you know, smack them with a kiss. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, the kind of, it's, like, kind of like a, like mischievous.
That's a hard scene to.
I know it's so hard, and like we're pulling apart, but like,
right.
Yeah.
And I'm probably like approaching this too much like a SJW.
No, not at all.
I just like to want to like talk about it because it's just like it is weird.
Yeah, and the like,
because it's presented. Yeah, like I said, like so lightly, you know. But then it's
right. But then it's like that's the maybe the seeds of.
Of, like, making, like, if you see, things okay. Like, if you
see,
assault.
Yeah, like,
okay.
If you see stuff like that enough times yeah. where...
It's like...
Especially, again, the audience of this is, like, young, impressionable kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's true.
So, I don't know.
It's tricky.
It's tricky.
It is.
There's a lot of... And I guess that's why internalized misogyny is so hard to shake.
Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, in a lot of, like comedy of errors... type things like farces and stuff, they have a, you know, a guy dressed up as someone else and they kiss, and you know what I mean, there's mm-hmm. like
getting someone to kiss you under false pretenses.
Yeah, there's like kind of like that cliche kind of like tropey thing about like tricking someone into kissing you
mm-hmm.
that I think it plays with.
Man, I would feel so much better about that if A, we just let Wendy stay mad.
Yeah, exactly.
And B, if the voiceover after had been just a little bit, like, not even a little bit, like, more
like,
critical of, like...
he never has a chance with her or whatever, or like...
Right, or like, we learned later that that's not what you do, and not like, man, that was kind of gross, but it was mostly dope. And
yeah.
Now I, as a 40-year-old sports reporter, still think, like, fuck. That kid was so cool. Like, that's weird.
Right.
That's weird. Also, yeah. Not to objectify old Scotty, but he looked like shit, man. I was just... he was such a little kid.
So
and
did
then,
old Benny.
What?
He had
no,
a gross mustache.
Cute.
I love
he
a mustache.
I do not. I He could have been
like,
so much
like,
hotter.
He's like a nice, thick mustache.
No.
I don't love
been.
A mustache, but I thought
I
he looked...
It.
He was a man at the 90s, you know? Ugh. 90s men had
no.
mustaches.
Yeah.
I was so excited for him to, like, grow up to be this hot hunk, and then it was that
I
guy.
I agree that he didn't, like, meet my expectations, but I don't think he's a bad
because he was a hot
guy.
Child.
He was a hot boy.
And you know, like a good mustache.
Some children I used to think were hot. A list of two people who come to mind. Oh, wait, no, three. Okay. Number one, Peter Pan in the 2003 live action Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
His name was Jeremy something. And he was very cute. Number two, Liam Aiken in 2004's A Series of Unfortunate Events. He played Klaus, little mop top, adorable. Number three, and this was one that I remember my mom told my cousins, Jamie has a crush on Chris from a direct-to-video Casper movie called Casper Returns. And I had a huge crush on little Chris, who had his all his hair was like one huge cowlick. He had a middle part. And I was just like, he's so cute. And I confided in my mom, and then she fucking blew it.
Aww.
She told everyone. And my cousins were like, you like Chris? He's all, you know, he only has bangs. And I'm like, I like that. Anyways, three hot children.
I don't remember ever being, even when I was a kid, I don't remember being attracted to like other kids on screen. Like all my movie crushes were on adult men, which
interesting.
I don't know what that says about me.
I went to either my age or
younger.
Very old. Because then in comes the Alfred Molina crush.
Sure.
And that gets tricky.
Who's Alfred Molina?
Doc Ock.
Oh,
oh, like Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
He's also he's in Frida, and
he's in a lot of
Chocolat.
Stuff.
Oh, I love Chocolat.
He plays the is he the mayor? I want to say
he's not the hot movie. Character in the movie, but I think he's the hot character in the movie.
Anybody
love a good
like
beefcake.
The goalie from Mighty Ducks.
Ooh.
The bad boy. Mm. And he's like, they get him to be on the team because he's like so fast, like at blocking all the pucks.
Yeah, I never thought, I only saw him in Mighty Ducks, I think, once.
Okay.
But it's cool when there's like, oh, and then another hot child, the kid from Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. I thought Ned was so cute. And then his friend, who is a girl, was tall. And I was like, it's me. I'm taller than all my, you know, everyone's so small and I'm so big. And they still had a crush on each other. And that I was inspired. I was like, wow, small men, you really can make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's four hot children. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Natalie added one too. So five hot children. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
Maybe I was just a horny kid. I don't know, but
yeah. Kids are horny. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Here we go. Full circle.
They're always like rubbing each their parts and stuff. You know, they don't realize it, but yeah, they are. Yeah,
I mean, and every kid has a weird memory. Like I remember Corey, who lived in the trailer down the street, who I had such a huge crush on. One time, he's like kind of cornered me, but I was like, ooh, Corey, you know, and he caught me singing a song from Hercules in my backyard, and then he kissed my forehead. Thank you. Thank you.
The moves on your forehead.
Yeah, on my forehead, because he is a little bit taller than me. So
I like that.
Right? Well, I think it's time. I think it's time to rate the movie.
All horned up. Yep.
Does anyone want to go first? We rate on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women.
Oh, my gosh. I'll go first. Based on its portrayal of women, it gets like a 0.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I do love the movie still for nostalgia. But, and you know, I think it's just got some classic moments. But yeah, 0 on its portrayal of women. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I'll give it a 0 as well. I think that this is more of a call to action. We got to do a Sandlot reboot. Replace the boy twins with girl twins.
Oh,
we're
great.
Good to go. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Just give us a new Sandlot with girls, and then everything else can,
yeah,
you know, and give the mom a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she and Dennis Leary can even still be the dad if he wants. If he's not busy.
Well, he was a big hit with you, wasn't he?
I love Dennis
Leary.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so I give it 0 nipples. If I were to give it a nipple of any sort, though, I would like to specify it would be James Earl Jones's blind nipple.
Yeah, I was going to give it like a half nipple
you
said, well, just because I don't think we've ever given a movie 0 nipples before.
Oh, I'll give Should I give it a 1?
I mean, well, no, I don't think it deserves that much.
There's really just no female characters, and the ones that there are, you know,
they're heavily objectified.
Yeah.
They have very little screen time. His mom is, I mean, I guess I don't have any problems with her. I couldn't think of anything, but she like,
she's just a little exposition machine.
She's like all scared of the dad, though. She's
she
kinda
is.
Like,
yeah.
She's like, when you maybe have time, can you teach him how to play? Yeah. Like he's about to hit her or something.
Right.
You know?
And then his dad, oh, God, any movie where, like, the dad is always in a different room, you're just like, ugh, God, what is he doing in that room?
Yeah.
What is he doing in that room?
In a weird trophy room.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess 0.
Give us our Sandlot reboot.
But not a straight-to-video reboot.
No. Give us a wide release.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, actually a good movie, though. This is what I'm saying. Like, so many times they reboot a movie and it just, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
give us another Mighty Ducks as well.
Oh yeah,
I think
most sports movies for kids.
Really?
I think so.
Or adults.
But maybe also they could just think of like a new thing.
I love Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna give it 0 nipples. The women are just, you know, poor Wendy. I want to like give her
poor
more
Wendy.
Lines. Give her. Make her not okay with her being kissed against her will.
Don't make her marry Squints.
Don't make her marry.
At least that. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That was like added in the titles. Like,
it was a bit much.
Yeah. Well,
Sandlot is a good movie for nostalgia. It's a bad movie for women.
True.
In terms of the way the characters are just don't exist or are, you know. This is why we have the podcast, because sometimes it's hard to be like,
yeah.
Oh, I love this movie, but
yeah.
Gotta call a spade sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I don't hate it. I like a lot of the like the boy characters.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun.
They're cute.
They've got some fun.
It is, you know, it's a little boys movie for like little boys.
Yeah. They've got the chubby one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have
whose
all
name
the
is
little
Ham.
Boy.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
Ham became a pro wrestler. I was like, pretty dope. Well, not in real life, but in his epilogue. I don't know if any of these kids act anymore.
I think Ham does. He's in like a Funny or Die video or something.
Oh, good for Ham. Recently.
Let's Did start you say good for him or good for Ham?
I said good for Ham.
Oh, cool. Hey, Natalie, where can people find you online?
Oh, my gosh. Find me at NatDogCatDog on Twitter. Cat with a K.
Love it.
And on Instagram, at Natalie Palamides.
Also, shout out to all those Scottish bricklayers out there.
Oh, yeah, hit
Your
me up.
Your girl's coming through.
Hit me up.
They'll be like, oh, I'm from Scotland. There's a brick over here. There's been someone murdered.
Oh, my God. You're working me up over here.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having
me. For chatting about this movie with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, it has.
Now, home run.
What?
I don't know.
Let's knock it out of the park.
I try to say something at the end of the episode that's like relevant to the movie.
Okay, I thought you were starting a new part. I was like, I thought we were finished.
Just go out there and hit a home run with your life, everybody.
If you reach for the stars, you might get there.
Yeah.
Follow us on Bechdelcast. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.